Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
This morning we're going to talk about essentially understanding the key of David. And that's spoken of a few places in the Bible, but I'm going to read Revelation 3, 7 through 12, and that speaks of the Church of Philadelphia. And if anybody knows that in that section of Scripture, Philadelphia is about the only church that's really given a full commendation by Jesus, that they're doing good things, you know, and they've made the mark, right? And I'm going to read from verse 7 of Revelation 3. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my commandment and persevere. I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him a new name." Okay, so God uses the Church of Philadelphia and defines having this key of David. He says to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia, write these things. It says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. And then he expounds on that, using the key of David. He opens and no one shuts. He shuts and no one opens. And it's really important to know that doors in our lives open and shut. There are opportunities that come along. Sometimes we don't even try the door to see if it's unlocked and open for us to pass through. And sometimes we try a door that we think should work very well for us, and we find out that it's locked. And it's Jesus who possesses the key of David. And he was speaking of that key of David to the Church of Philadelphia, saying, I'm opening doors for you, and no one is going to shut those doors. And opening doors is the doors of opportunity in your life, doors of opportunity for you to grow in Jesus, become more like Jesus. We move from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, and that the doors are open for us to do that. This is the key of David we're talking about today. It's God used the key of David to open a door that no one could shut. And it said they had only a little strength. It's funny that he says you have a little strength. And it's interesting that he says many good things about him. And they do have strength, but they have a little strength. And one thing necessary for doors to be open and shut is to realize that, as the Philadelphians did, how weak we are without him. So without him, we have no strength. They had a little strength. But even because they had a little strength, he really commends them and really speaks well of the Church of Philadelphia. There's power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the Bible says in the end times there'd be a people who would have a form of godliness but would deny the power thereof. And that's one thing we never want to, We never want to deny the power of God. Now, we should look in the mirror very deeply and see if, in fact, there have been doors open to us and there have been, the key of David has been handed over to us so that we have doors open to us that weren't previously open to us. Either that or we don't have doors open to us, in which case, I guess we got to get on the stick, right? Isaiah 22 from verse 22 says, "The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulders, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. I will fashion him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house." Again, the Lord is talking about putting the key of David on his shoulders. And that's really important that we understand that there are keys in the Bible. So he shall open. So there's, you know, the way Revelation sound is that God is the owner of the key and he opens and shuts, which is very true. But actually, he does all of his work through you and I. God does his work through us. Listen, folks, I don't think we're done yet. I think we got a long way to go. I think we're just getting started. I really do. I'm 64 years old, but I think we're just getting started in really, really actually accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in this community. And my faith is that this is going to go far beyond me and whoever is next or whatever people attach themselves with us in the future. Why? Because we preach a pure gospel. We preach a pure gospel. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We do not cherry pick scriptures. We read the entire gospel and then we let the gospel do its work on us. So what? So that the key of David can be given to us, that we can open doors that won't be shut and we can shut doors that won't be open. Yeah? There's something more important than just natural keys, the key of David. With this key, you can be close to God. You get close to God, you can be victorious. You have doors open and or closed to walk in godliness, insight, and blessing. Or on the other side, paralysis, failure, and hopelessness without those keys. There are many people, a lot of people in churches that say, "I don't really feel that I have a strength. I have a little strength from God. I don't feel like I have a blessed life. I feel like I have just a normal life." And I'm going to tell you, when you have a blessed life, you know you have a blessed life. And you probably, there are probably people who have more money than you. There are probably people that are better looking than you. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you're the best looking person on earth. I don't know. You know, maybe people have better marriages than you. Maybe people have, you know, better cars than you or are more intelligent than you and so on and so forth. I think there's always somebody higher on the scale, right? But the truth is that, you know, God wants to open a door so you can wake up one day and say, my goodness, I'm blessed. Philadelphia, they were a blessed people. They did not have much strength, but they were able to do the work of God, become evangelistic, reach out to the poor, and become pillars in the church. 1 Kings 11:38 says, then it shall be if you will heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandment, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. Israel is in the New Testament is just a metaphor for the city of God, the people of God, right? If you heed all that I command you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, I'm not talking about complete moral perfection. I'm talking about the maturity that comes when we're able to repent if we need to repent. We've blown it one day. We lost our cookies and, you know, we went off and said things we shouldn't say or done something we shouldn't have done. Still loving Jesus and trusting he's our God and our Savior. Amen. David did lots of stuff wrong. We're going to talk about it a little bit. He did lots of stuff wrong. And yet, God always talks about his love for his servant David. And I'll give you the keys of David. And David is the apple of my eye. It wasn't his moral perfection. It was his attitude toward God. Okay, responding right from the heart in every situation is the key to David. It involves obedience, consistency, and accountability, and having a heart after God. James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to us. It's just like that. That's just how it works. You draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Okay, the Bible includes 65 chapters specifically about David. God responded to him. After Jesus, David is spoken of more than anyone else in the Bible. His name is mentioned more than 1,200 times. Each of us, you know more than me, each of us has a journey ordained by God. Each has certain responsibilities that accompany that change. The key to David will allow us to open those doors and keep them open, building for us an enduring house, both privately and corporately. I expect there to be Catskill Mountain Christian Center, maybe renamed 42 times, you know, in 100 years, but I expect it to be around when Jesus comes back in some form or another, praising Jesus, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, in the key of David, when you have the key of David, God sends angels to protect you because you're doing something now that's very, very important to God. You're doing a mission that fulfills his vision, not necessarily your vision. Although you adopt his vision and his vision becomes your vision. Right? Makes sense? David was not a super saint. He made plenty of errors and committed sin. Only Jesus was sinless. David wasn't the wisest man in the Bible. That says of Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. He wasn't the best king that ever inhabited the throne of Israel. Hezekiah is called the greatest king. So David was a lot of things that he wasn't that great at. But still, he's spoken of as the archetype of what we should be looking for. Right? Why did God respond with such joy to David? Because David knew how to first respond to God. He knew how to draw near to God. Therefore, God drew near to him. Okay, so how do we respond to God that he might open and close doors for us? Number one, looking at David, we realize that David had a simple, real, active faith. David had no religious facade. David had zero religious facade. David was David. He wasn't looking to impress anyone. When David comes down right into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, he's got a linen ephod on, which was not kingly garments. He's the king. He should have robes on. He should have all the regalia of a king. He takes all the regalia off. He puts just a linen ephod on, which is just a tunic kind of a thing. And he dances and whirls with all his might before the ark of the Lord. And everybody's like, what is the king acting like this for? Kings don't act like that. Kings are supposed to act a certain way. You're a pastor, you're supposed to act a certain way. Right? And David leaps and whirls all the way down, six steps at a time, and he stops and he just praises God. David is the champion of our kind of praise and worship. Right? So he praises God and his wife. Now he's got a wife who happens to be Saul, right? The former king, Saul's daughter. Her name is Michal, and she's watching from her upper window as her husband comes down into Jerusalem, leaping and whirling before the ark. And David comes in from work, says, honey, what's to eat? I'm hungry. I don't know if he said that or not, but that's just, husbands always say that. And she says, wasn't the king magnificent today, debasing himself before all the fair maidens? David said, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because I will be more what? I will be more undignified than this. I can never remember that word. I will be more undignified than this. If it pleases God, I'll be more undignified than this. David danced before the ark. David didn't care what people thought about him, only what the Lord thought. He says in Psalm 9:1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will praise you with my whole heart. I'm not holding anything back. I will praise you with my whole heart. I will give you all of it. I will praise you with my whole heart. You got to see that. What is it to do something with you? Have you ever done anything in your life with your whole heart? I mean, we used to play on sports teams in high school. And in sports, it's easy to give your whole heart to the game, right? Because you're a part of a team, and it's okay and everything. You give your whole heart to it. You get married, you give your whole heart to your spouse, right? David said to God, I will praise you with my whole heart. And listen, he's doing it by faith to an unseen God just like you. Does your faith inform you that he's there and that he hears your prayer? You're absolutely right, he does. But he can't answer prayers that haven't been prayed. Number two, David was humble and would abase himself in God's presence. So David trusted the character and integrity of God. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, she bore a sickly child, and David fasted and prayed for quite a long time. But as soon as he heard that the child died, he got up, washed, put on good clothes, washed, and went to the temple to worship. Even after fasting and praying that God save his son. As soon as it was over, he was like, all right, give me something to eat. give me some fresh clothes. I got to go wash up, and I got to get to the temple to worship God. Trusted the character of God. David knew how to handle broken dreams. Number four says, now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell, the king said, David said to Nathan, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go down and do all that is in your heart to do, for the Lord is with you. But then in that same chapter, when you get down to verse 12, Nathan says this, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. But the truth is, Nathan gave him one prophecy, and then he came back and gave him an opposite prophecy. Yes, go ahead, build the temple. Do all that's in your heart to do. Then he comes back and says, your seed will build the temple. Your son is going to actually build the temple, Solomon. You're not going to. So it's actually a prophet that changed his mind. And David does nothing for the next three paragraphs but praise God. Disappointed. I'm sure he was disappointed. It was a dream, like Moses dreamed to go into the promised land. He never did it. David's dream was to build the temple of God. Never did it. And it doesn't say he did anything wrong. It just said, no, God said, no, I picked somebody else for that job. Just very quickly, I'm out of time. Number five, he retained his trust while under the judgment of God. His son Absalom, who was his son who had a kind of an axe to grind with his dad, set himself up at the gate of the city. And as the people were coming to see the king, because they had some kind of a judgment that they wanted the king to decide on their behalf, the Absalom would say, you don't have to go to my dad. I'll take care of you. Absalom was tall. He was handsome. He was very competent and capable. But what he was doing was drawing away the people who were under David the king, drawing away people to himself. And he did that long enough that he actually ran a rebellion against his father and drove his father out of town. And as he was being driven out of town, this guy named Shimei was following him on a hill, throwing stones at King David. And King David's guys go, hey, King, you want us to kill him? That's what they said. These were mighty men of war. These guys had lived their lives doing battle. Said, hey, King, you want we should go and kill him? And David said, no, leave him alone. I don't know that God didn't send them. I don't know that God didn't send him to render judgment upon me. Right? Do you love God when things go wrong? Do you love God when things go wrong? And last but not least, accept rebuke without excuses. It's another thing David did. You know, so David has an affair with this lady Bathsheba, and her husband Uriah comes. He sends for the husband Uriah to come. He says, Uriah, go home tonight, because now Bathsheba's with a child. So he wants Uriah to go home, and when she turns up pregnant, then Uriah is going to think it's his child. So David's trying to weasel out of it. Uriah refuses to go home, and he gets a sleeping bag, and he sleeps at the king's door because he said, my men are in battle. I am not going home and having the comforts of home while my men are in battle. And David says, 2-3 days. He says, no, go home, go with your family. You know, he's trying to weasel out of the whole thing. So finally he says, well, this guy's not going to cooperate. And he sends a message with his general, make sure you send Uriah to the most dangerous part of the war. And Uriah gets killed in the battle. So now David takes Bathsheba as his wife, and they have a baby. That baby was consummated in adultery, right? And so Nathan the prophet, who's really a great prophet, really fun prophet, he said to David, I have something to put before you, king. There are two men. One was rich and very, very wealthy. And the other only had one sheep, but he loved that sheep with all of his heart. One little lamb, one sheep. And he said the rich guy came and he took the little lamb from the poor guy. So when his company came, he had food to give him. He took it from the poor guy. King, what do you think we should do with that dirty rat? David said, kill him! Kill him! And Nathan turns around and said, it's you! That's what you did to Uriah. You took his little lamb. You took his wife. And you know what? David just took it. He took it. He didn't make excuses. He didn't make excuses. He took it. Said, man, oh man, I'm wasted. I'm exposed. I'm embarrassed. But you're right. Oh God, forgive me. But he was exposed before the whole community. And we can read it now in our Bibles, all these years later. So he still hasn't outlived the shame, right, of doing what he did. The key to David is this obedience, this crazy, crazy obedience to Jesus. This crazy, wonderful, wild obedience and love for Jesus Christ. That you take him into your heart and you connect with him. And there's nothing that can happen to you that can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.